Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets and, about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. All four Bible accounts of Jesus' resurrection show the difficulty of Jesus' closest friends to believe he had actually been brought back to life. They were frightened and disbelieving when they first saw him. In Luke 24, verses 9 through 11, it says, "When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense." Have you ever thought about how you would react if you were one of Jesus' closest friends? You'd seen him killed, and now suddenly you saw him alive. Wouldn't your first response be to say that it was impossible? How often we declare something impossible. And yet during our lives, we have seen the impossible become the possible. Every so often, one of the cable channels will run a special. It's been on, off and on now, probably for 5 years or more. It's called The Science of Star Trek. In the mid-1960s, when the television show Star Trek came out, it presented some things that were science fiction that have since become science fact. When we first saw them in the mid-1960s, we thought, well, that's impossible. Today, we take them for granted as being not only the possible, but the actual. Impossible. That's what's declared by people who consider the idea of God to be unscientific, to be incredible, and to be unintellectual. To the claim of impossible, God responds in Isaiah 29 and verse 14 saying, "Therefore, once again, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish." When the angel Gabriel told Mary that she would bear a child who would be the Son of God, she asked how that could be since she was a virgin. As Gabriel explained, he concluded, "For nothing is impossible with God." Jesus' ministry emphasized the impossible in his miracles, in his healings, and in his statements about himself. Jesus proclaimed that the impossible became the possible due to God the Father's power. He said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, "With God, all things are possible." And in Luke 18, verse 27, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Impossible is something we cannot do. It does not and cannot apply to God. But there was one thing that was impossible. And that's what Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 32 talks about. There in that first sermon following Christ's ascension back into heaven, there when his followers have received this miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, there as they are heard speaking in languages that they had not studied, and people are drawn to them, and the apostles stand up and begin preaching about Jesus Christ. Peter says, Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on God's Son, because God the Father is sovereign over all his world and over all his plans. It was his plan that his Son come to earth, preach the good news of salvation for all people, and be the sacrifice for the sins of all people. But he must be shown as God's Son by his resurrection. For God, the creator of the world, that was not impossible. People who reject Jesus' bodily resurrection do so because it is claimed to be a miracle, and they reject miracles. E.F. Harrison explains, the emergence of a man from death does not conform to the pattern of what is common to men. And for this reason, it lies outside the realm of historical verification. Absolutely true. After all, we don't see people raised from the dead every day, do we? As a matter of fact, we don't see it any day. And so it does lie outside the realm of historical verification. This has always been an obstacle to belief. When Jesus' follower Paul was in Athens, Greece, he preached the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Some philosophers asked him to speak to them about his teaching and strange ideas. So he told them about Jehovah God and then about Jesus' resurrection. At that point, some of them jeered and sneered because to them, resurrection of any human being was impossible. But others were interested. They wondered, could resurrection actually be possible? It's a good question, isn't it? Are you one who would sneer? Or are you one who is interested? Do you rule it out as the impossible? Or do you realize that with God, all things truly are possible? Jesus' life began through a miracle. The entirety of his ministry was filled with and was based around miracles. That Jesus should be returned from death to life by a miracle should be understood as both natural and necessary to confirm who he was and to complete what he came to do. God uses miracles to establish his sovereignty over his world. God uses miracles to show us his power. God uses miracles to bless people. God uses miracles to accomplish his purposes for us. God uses miracles to humble people to him, to realize that miracles are within the purview of God and not human beings. God uses miracles to in the process of all of this, be recognized and glorified for who he is, God Almighty, God, the God of the impossible. Just as Christ Jesus' sacrificial death shows God's extreme love for all people, Christ Jesus' resurrection shows God's extreme power over all elements of life. Just as God had created life, he restored life to his Son. Since with him all things are possible and nothing is impossible, God, God alone, is the God of the impossible. It's impossible for you and I to understand how God restored Jesus to life. And you know, after all is said and done, it really doesn't matter how, does it? What matters is that he did. It's not important or necessary for you and I to understand the how. But it's not impossible for us to have faith that God has the power and the ability to do that. Our faith in God's power and ability and our faithful obedience is all that God requires of us. Hebrews 11, verse 6, makes an absolute statement that no one can ignore. No one. Because it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If God exists, by the very definition of his existence, speaks of his unlimited power. We choose what we believe is possible and impossible. But the God of the impossible is not bound by our choices about those things. Based upon our faith in him, our eternal future with him will either be possible or impossible. And that choice is ours. In Acts 2, Jesus' followers called for the crowd to believe in Jesus as God's Son and as the Savior of the world. Despite the plans and the actions of people, God's plans and actions were completed to save even those people who had killed Jesus. There was no act of humanity that was capable of thwarting God's plans nor of thwarting his forgiveness. When the crowd heard this, verses 37 through 41 say, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Do you believe in the God of the impossible? Do you really believe in the God of the impossible? Or is your vision of God something different? God has always been the God of the impossible. From the time we opened Genesis chapter 1 until the time it closes in Revelation, we see repeatedly in any number of ways the God of the impossible. So is that the God that you believe in? Are you like these people that we read about in Acts chapter 2, these people who knew that they had rejected the Son of God and been a party to killing him? Are your hearts cut by your sins? Will you save yourselves from the wickedness of this generation by acting in faith as they did? Will you repent and be baptized in Christ's name so that you can be forgiven? Will you receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit and live by the Spirit from this point forward? Will you come forward right now in humble acceptance and obedience of God and His will for you? Can we aid you by doing that right now as we stand and sing?